Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to an episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. And this week we have a superb guest in Abby Clark. Abby Clark is here.
Woohoo!
Abby Clark of internet fame, I'm going to say.
I think
that's fair to say.
Certainly.
A fellow Clarky.
A fellow Clarky. And there was some confusion as to when I was talking to Clarky who I was talking to in this episode. But of course I was talking to both of you.
I don't think that's happened before, has it? I don't think we've had another Parry or Crosby as a guest.
We haven't. That's the mission now, isn't it?
Yeah.
If there are other Parrys out there who want to be a guest on Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, we've got to do it now. We've got to do it.
We're locked
Line
in.
Line up, please. Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. If you would like your beef to be solved on the podcast, we'd love to hear your beefs. We've had some really good ones recently, so we'd love to hear some more. Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. As always, join the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare, and get tickets to see, if they haven't already sold out, Helen Bauer and Nina Conti do a Flatshare Slamdown on the 7th of June, which should be a lot of fun.
What a lineup.
Yeah, woo-hoo. It's going to be good fun. Should we crack into the episode?
You must.
Let's waste no time and get into it.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Hello, Abby Clark. How are you doing?
Hi. Good, thank you. I haven't left the house today, so I can't claim anything interesting's happened to me. But I'm doing good. Thanks.
Is that a regular thing for you that you realise at the end of the day, I've just not been out at all?
Yeah, it can if I'm doing social media stuff rather than anything else, I sometimes forget I haven't seen sunlight in 2 weeks, and then I go out like the little boy in the secret garden, oh my God, yeah. I quite often won't realise it's nice weather because I've just been in a dark room.
But you not look at other people's social media and they're going, oh, amazing sunshine. Or you just, when you're in your social media bubble,
you're just... Yeah, but they're doing the right kind of social media where they do travelling and beauty. And I've chosen comedy. And it's a much sadder, darker life.
You don't have to tell us.
There's a lot more editing and a lot more on your own stuff. I don't actually follow that many influencers. There's a few I follow, but I don't think I'm actually that clued in on the social world. I shouldn't say this. Everyone in the industry is like, that's the gal for socials.
I didn't even necessarily mean influencers. I mean just people who say it's sunny outside. You know,
for some reason, my friends, they don't have the need ID to update their story throughout the day. But yeah, I had envy on the snow. Everyone posts about the snow. I genuinely feel like a sick child is not allowed out.
Because you're not in London, are you? You're based elsewhere.
No, I'm in Bristol.
Did you get a lot of snow in Bristol?
I don't know. I don't even remember.
Ask the wrong
I just
person
remember
here.
On social media, everyone doing the whoa, it's snowing. But yeah, there's no good places to sledge in Bristol, so it's irrelevant anyway. What's the point? I feel like once you lose the school snow days and there's not a good hill nearby... I became the adult I always hated of just being this is actually just inconvenient.
Can I ask you a question about snow days? How did everybody find out that their school was closed? What was that?
On the radio.
Radio.
On the radio,
The local radio station, yeah.
Yeah.
We also found out through CFAX.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It went big. We got to watch it on CFAX. So it meant, you know, like, if you're watching something on CFAX...
What, like the football results or something?
Yeah, exactly like that. You'd have to sit there waiting for the screen to come round. We were at St. Joseph's. That was our school. So it was, you know, thank you so much. It was a good school.
what a weird brag. Straight up. I was at Joseph's.
But I meant we weren't at like St. Aloysius or something, which would have been page one. As soon as you turn it on, boom, there's page one.
I see.
I'm talking about, it's a little bit of waiting time to get to the J's is what I'm talking about. It wasn't a flex. So in Bristol, what is your flat share situation? What is your house share situation? Who do you live with?
I am shamefully podcasting from my parents' bedroom right now.
Oh man,
things are going well. It's the millennial dream. I think it was all of my friends beat me to it and are already in flat shares, and I'm like, who do I live with? I missed the boat. It was all in lockdown. They all screwed me over.
They all buddied up.
And now I'm friendless, but I can't live with strangers because I film random sketches in my room and kitchen, and so I can't just like live with like two accountants and being like, hey guys, mind staying out of the kitchen for 5 hours while I just film a little skit, thanks.
This is why you need to know other people in the influencer industry, because you should be living in one of those mad houses that they have like in LA where it's like a mansion and everybody there is an influencer.
I was actually invited to one.
Really?
Were you really?
Yeah,
to live in a...
Yeah, well, it was a like a group of kind of British comedy TikTokers. It wasn't an official one, but they were like, we're thinking of like maybe, or even if we just all kind of live in the similar area, we can make videos together and stuff. But at the time, that was just too much. And I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to be a full-time social media person.
Well, it feels like the other extreme. Like, there's living with normal people and being like, I've got a TikTok in the kitchen, and then living with 15 TikTokers and being like, we need a fucking
guys,
schedule on the kitchen.
Other than TikTok?
Like, yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. It's a fine balance, isn't it, really?
Yeah. We'd all be fighting over the kitchen for a skit. It'd be just as bad. I'd be like, guys, can you stop making prank noises while I film this really sophisticated sketch, actually?
Prank noises? Can you stop screaming prank?
It was a prank! And they're like, oh my God, this was not planned! That's how the audio goes. Yeah, so basically, it's impossible to live with me. I'm unlivable. So I'm still with my parents until a boyfriend accepts me and my career.
Okay, well, it's not...
Was that DD?
We don't normally use this as a lonely heart shout-out.
I was going to say, are you using this as a service?
No, I do have one. I do have one. He just doesn't want to live
with me. He's just not prepared.
He's just enjoying his time in his kitchen.
Weirdly, he's just moved into a house with a lot of TikTokers, hasn't he? He's like, I'm sorry, Abby. You can't come. You can't come with me. And if you spoke to, because obviously you say you're unlive withable, but if you spoke to your parents, do they love having you around? I mean, I imagine
no.
It's quite. Oh, okay.
Honestly, they can't wait to get rid of me. I think my mum is someone who has lived for like the empty nest, and it's never happened for her because she gets very anxious about like being on film, so she's like worried to come into her living room because she's like, are you filming me? Is this being filmed? Which I don't know why, because that's not my kind of content either.
No, you're not sort of constantly making her catch an egg or anything like that, are you?
Yeah, no, but I think she's always, it's even if I'm like doing like Instagram stories, she doesn't understand that like it's fine if she walks in the background of an Instagram story. She's like, oh my God, like army crawling, like I can't be seen. But they cannot wait for me to go, I think, and to take the softbox lights and the tripod with me. I think, yeah, they're ready for some peace.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, what do we need to do to get you either some new mates or a boyfriend who's ready to commit?
So
what can
sad,
we? What can we
it?
Do? Yeah, you know, because I feel like now this should be our. You know, we're supposed to be solving our listeners' beefs, but I feel like you've got more problems that need solving in the
yeah.
immediate future.
I think just generally, I need to get super rich, and then I could just like get my own house. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah,
you've come to the right place because podcasting is brimming with money.
Sick. All this time, a corner I wasn't getting in.
I think podcasting actually is brimming with money, Clarky. It's just not this particular podcast.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm on the wrong one. Yeah, oh, I should have gone on Shag Married and Annoyed.
Yeah, it's a stepping stone.
We're a gateway podcast, yeah. Don't worry.
Okay. I'm doing this for exposure and development. I understand.
Exactly. We'll send this to all the right people. Shall we crack on and solve some of the listeners' beefs?
We must.
Yeah.
Clarky, do you want to start with yours?
I'd love to, actually.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. There's two Clarkies here. This is the problem.
Which Clark?
Oh. Oh, wow.
This is, of course, we're in the problem of which Clarky are we talking about? I mean, by the way, I'll say this now. I don't think we're quite at the stage where I'm ready to be so over familiar that I call you Clarky, Abby.
Mark Olver does. First day you met me.
Just... Well, there's a lot of things that Mark Olver does that I'm not prepared to do.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Anyway, yeah, and when I sent you, because we've only met the once, we met at the. At the Comedy Awards, and very good fun it was too. And then I thought, you know, I watched your stuff. I thought, yeah, you'd be brilliant to come on the podcast. And I sent you a message. I sent through the DMs on Instagram. I thought the best way to get an Abby Clark is through Instagram. Sent you a message, and then you said, "Is it in person or over Zoom?" And for some reason, I panicked and wrote Zoom, baby Zoom. And then I heard nothing from you for 24 hours. And I had the worst 24 hours of just thinking, why did you say Zoom, baby, Zoom? Zoom would have sufficed. I was panicked.
It.
I was panicked about talking to someone a bit younger than me and thought, I've got to play this cool, right?
Hey, Zoom, baby, Zoom. We say baby after everything, yeah.
Zoom, baby, Zoom.
Podcast.
And I was genuinely, I had that real sinking feeling in my stomach of going,
oh, no.
we could have had Abby on the podcast, but I had to go with my Zoom, baby, Zoom quip. So,
it was such a certain Zoom. I was like, sick, doesn't need to be questioned with Zoom, baby, Zoom in it. I'm so sorry.
Definitely Zoom, baby, Zoom in it. It took you 24 hours to recover,
emoji.
If anything. Ben, Benedict Clark.
Hello.
What is the beef that a listener sent in to us?
We've got a work bestie beef from Simon.
Okay, hello, Simon.
Dear Pappies and Guest, I have a work bestie. She's absolutely lovely, but shit at her job.
It's a flag early doors.
Sorry, work danger, bestie. Danger. I think you're the problem.
I have a work bestie. She's absolutely lovely, but shit at her job.
Okay.
Do I address this? We are teachers. Sadly, we don't live together, but are going camping together in the summer. Simon.
What a loophole.
Yeah, I love that camping together is somehow... It's like, she's bad at her job, I just don't think I can go camping.
I've got a work bestie who shit at his job. And we go camping together every year to Glastonbury. I'd say
is
just
he in
keep
the
going.
Zoom? Or...
Yeah. There was a real moment there where both Clark and I were going, well, which one's it going to be? And I realised I've only been to Glastonbury once. Yeah. Clark has been every year.
You might have thought that. I didn't think that.
So the bad news is Tom's not my best friend. But the good news is... He doesn't necessarily think I'm shit. Yeah.
Nice.
I managed to get both of you there with one comment.
Yeah.
So, can we go back about the camping bit?
Certainly.
Read the final bit for me, please.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot going on here.
Exactly.
Sadly, we don't live together, but are going camping together in the summer, Simon.
Now, I think the reason Simon's put this is because this is a flat share based problem solving show. Mm. And he's going, well, I've got this problem. It's nothing to do with being in a flat share. Yeah. So I'll say, well, we are going camping together. So therefore, you should solve it. And you know what?
Right.
He's got on the show with it.
Yeah.
It's a loophole.
Not enough people wrote in. So
it's
we're
exactly
going
what
with
happened.
It.
We recorded two episodes back to back in the space of 48 hours. And
it's your lucky day, Simon.
Simon, you know what?
Yeah.
When there are two Beef Brothers in a month, because we do this on a sort of monthly basis, but when there are two in a month, Simon's getting through.
The next beef is set in prison, Abby. Just be ready. Sorry, I misread that situation as being this guy wants to end up living with his work bestie.
Yes, that's why.
I was like, there's romance in the air here.
Oh, maybe it is that. Like, maybe I've misinterpreted it.
Sadly, we don't live together, and we're going camping together in the summer. And I was like, hello.
Now that's moving far too fast. You don't, when you fancy someone, you don't go, I'm so sad I don't live with them. You're like, oh, I wish we could go to the cinema. Like, look, that's
true.
That's
well,
intense.
Maybe Abby, you need to start doing that if you want
maybe,
to actually move out.
Maybe I need to, that needs to be my opening line. Just first date, move in. Just look, let's not waste time. I'm in a desperate situation. I relate to this actually. I think I struggle if someone is. It depends if they actually work together within work, if that makes sense.
Like, right.
If you rely on each other.
Are they like, in the same department? If they're both teaching the same department.
Struggle. Whereas if it's just like a PE teacher, I'm like, you do you, boo. Let's meet up at the end. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, there's something, I mean, I don't know. Is there something a little bit, I know we shouldn't be just attacking Simon here because obviously, he out of the goodness of his heart, he's written in to try and get this beef solved. But is there a situation where there's an element of sort of arrogance, you know, because you're doing that job as well. Shouldn't you be, you know, evaluating yourself and seeing, are you doing the best job you can rather than looking around going, well, that person's not doing very well. I bet if I looked at your marking, Simon, it's got sloppy.
Are you marking the marking?
Yeah, I didn't know you could mark marking.
Who marks the markers? Yeah.
I thought the point of marking was to make it illegible and you can't read it.
I'm offsteading him. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm offsteading Simon.
But what if he's in the position that, like, in the staff room, people are like, hey, Gerald sucks. And, like, he's like, what do I... you know, it's a reputation in the staff room problem if you're associated with the shit one. Do you know what I mean?
If it's, like, it's dragging the whole department down. It's dragging the whole school down. If there's bad teaching there, it's dragging the school down.
Social status is important.
I'd like the details on what makes them a bad teacher as well. Because there's different genres of bad teacher.
Yeah, there's criminal.
Maths, French.
Yeah, I think criminal's a big one, yeah.
Sorry, I went at you. You went maths, French, criminal.
Criminal.
It was my first. There's, it's a way to be bad at it.
I think I don't know, Simon, but I reckon if they were committing crimes of any nature on the school, I would say that goes beyond.
No, I'd go straight to Pappy's podcast. That's the first place I'd stop. I'd be like, guys, I've got an issue.
Defense. Sure.
He's looking at the kids funny.
Oh my God, Abby, for goodness sake. We all got it. We all know what you were talking about.
I had to finish the bit.
I think it was stealing.
It's not bank robbery.
Had to commit, all right?
He's got a lot of post-it notes at home. I'll say that much about him.
That would be annoying too.
My brain went to kind of, obviously the 90s person in me went to teachers.
Oh, like, with Andrew Lincoln?
He's a bad teacher because he's in the pub, he hasn't done his marking, he's running to school because he's late, Belle and Sebastian are in his headphones. Like, you know, like it's like that kind of bad teacher because otherwise you wouldn't be great mates with him. Do you know what I mean?
So my generation's bad teacher is Cameron Diaz.
Yes,
yeah, there
of course.
You go. This is the generational gap, you see.
But she's really fit, so that's why you're friends with her.
Exactly.
Jack you can
Whitehall.
Do anything
Jack
if you're
Whitehall's
hot.
Our generation's bad teachers. Sorry, I don't want to consider myself in your generation.
I do think there is. I think there might be some chemistry going on here. I slightly misread the going camping thing, but it's like feels like there might be something else to it. I don't know.
Going to work, bestie. She's absolutely lovely. Now, the other thing is, sorry, go on.
So it's a woman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it could be Cameron Diaz.
It could be.
Could.
It could.
Absolutely lovely, but shit at her job.
Researching for the sequel.
Mm.
I think friendship conquers all here. Clearly, you buzz off each other and you get along. If you're not a parent at the school, do you know what I mean? That's their issue.
Yeah,
so
I also wonder, I'd
look the other way.
How much of finding out she's a bad teacher is anecdotal? Because when you're giving someone an anecdote about work, you don't go like, oh, I'm brilliant at it. The funny stuff is telling them the bad stuff, isn't it?
No, I think he knows.
Yeah,
I think you can tell.
You can tell. He's
I think he's definitely aware. Maybe she doesn't care much. Maybe it's like she's quite lazy. Because then that like goes into the rest of your life as well. It's not just job specific. Maybe it's a personality trait that's rubbing him up the wrong
right.
way.
So he's worried she won't put up the tent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Won't start the campfire.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Here's the... Well, of course, we know what your angle is, Tom. But, like, can you... I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because in comedy, right, if you meet somebody who's a comic and you get on with them, it's a very tense moment when you then see them gig, right? Because you want... Like, if you get on with them really, really well, you want them to be brilliant, right?
Yeah.
You want to really like the stuff they do. And... It can tarnish it slightly. And do you think that's it? Like he's worried that this is actually, it's so much so that it's seeping into the friendship. He can't have that sort of delineation. Is he getting the ick with his work bestie?
Yeah, I think.
Are they getting the ick when they hear the phrase work bestie?
They should be. I've got the ick. I've found a whole new ick.
What's the solution though for Simon? What is our solution to, because if you want, like, making someone a better teacher feels like a really big ask.
Yeah.
What do you say? Quit and do something else? And then make them your non-work bestie?
Those that
just
can't.
See them socially? Like, what's the advice?
Transfer schools.
Yeah.
Get yourself to another school for the sake of your friendship.
Maybe just ban work chat so you don't have to hear about how bad they are.
I think plant something on them. Have them move schools.
Yeah, you shouldn't be the one having to move schools.
Yeah,
you're good at your job.
We assume.
So Simon says, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, it shouldn't be your problem anyway, Simon. But Simon's making it his problem.
I think Simon's a guy, he really cares.
He cares about the school. He's a good ambassador.
Perhaps you care too much, Simon. Perhaps.
Maybe you should be shitter at your job, Simon. That's our message to you.
It's difficult at school because I guess it's like kids' education. You know, it's a pretty big deal if you...
It's the future of the country. It's the future of the world.
And of TikTok.
It's the future of the TikTok generation.
It's the future of TikTok. If you're not giving them good, like, teaching, their TikTok's going to be so bad and I have to watch those. So can we just make them, like, slightly intelligent with good references? I'd really appreciate it.
Right. Okay. So it's got serious now. Now that we know that this the social media companies
are
involved. Yeah,
there's a lot at stake.
I feel like our advice to Simon is just chill out. But that can't be it, can it?
That can't be the advice.
Beef solved.
I think there's no better time to talk about this kind of thing than round a campfire.
Yeah.
So I think put it off till the summer. Few beers.
Fantastic.
Sit around the campfire. Do you really think you enjoy it? Do you enjoy teaching, really, though? Because
what do you really want to do?
You're such a brilliant person. I just feel like you might be a bit wasted in school.
Well, if they're wasted in school, that's also a crime.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I was right in the first place.
They do this during an assembly.
It happens kind of like an organic intervention.
Don't do it on day one, though.
No.
In case it goes sour.
Just
love bomb them. I like the love bombing of, like, you're so good at these other things.
You're so much fun. School's holding you back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You made that bivouac brilliantly. Like all of the, you know, you should actually, I think what you should do is you should permanently live in the forest. That's how good you are with around nature.
Yeah. You set this fire in just under an hour. Incredible.
Exactly. Never go back to a building. I think buildings are what's holding you back.
I think we're only 3 years, I think we're 3 years away from a newbie from Simon, which is, my best friend lives in the forest. Like, I love hanging out with her. She's great. She's brilliant company. But, like, I got to go to the forest, man.
Yeah. Sadly, we don't live together in the forest. But surely that's a loophole, right, guys?
Oh, like, what's going on here?
Forest share slam down.
So I think, I think that's it, isn't it? Get them round the roaring campfire, roast a few marshmallows, and then
roast her personality.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Abby. Yeah. Do you want to read your one out?
Clarkie.
Okay.
Yeah, no. It was Abby this time.
It's Abby.
Because I also call Clarkie Abby as well.
Okay, so this one felt kind of like a personal attack, but it's not mine, okay? This is not mine. Okay. Hello, hilarious pappies and esteemed guest. Thank you. Greetings from upstate New York.
Oh, I love it.
We're international.
International.
Okay.
Very good.
I have a rather strange beef for you, as it is really a self beef. I recently finished graduate school, and took a job close to my parents' house. Naturally, being in debt and having generous parents, I am living with them. I am having trouble balancing spending adequate time at home and doing what I want as an adult. I am often asked if I'll be home for dinner or will be available to spend time with the family. Any thoughts on balancing the living with parents as an adult? This is really my internal beef. Your ever entertained listener, Aaron. Aaron.
Oh, was that you wait until the last bit to go?
I've got
my confidence
Aaron,
up now. I'm going
New York,
for it.
New York, baby.
Aaron. Can we hear a Zoom baby Zoom in a New York accent?
Zoom baby Zoom.
Great. Yeah.
We're gonna clip that and use it at the start of all of our shows now. This podcast was recorded over, and then it'll come in Zoom, baby, Zoom.
Baby, Zoom. Oh, it's gone full Italian now.
It's gone full Dolmio day.
Full.
Right. Well, let's address this to you, Abby, or
yes.
Clarkie, if you prefer. What is your social setup with your parents? How often do you spend time hanging out with them? Do you feel guilty about not hanging out with them enough?
No, I think their general distaste for hanging out with me makes it quite... I don't have this issue quite so much.
Is your advice to Aaron become a TikToker? And they'll never want to hang out with any... No one's going to want to spend time with you.
Here's my advice. Spend a year in lockdown forcing your parents to do TikTok dances with you and they'll never talk to you again. No, I do like hanging out with my parents. I think it is difficult. It's that weird, like, moving back as an adult, there's, like, a different dynamic and relationship. Because what my parents struggle most with is not knowing what I'm doing, I think. Where they're used to kind of having control over everyone's schedules and the happenings of the house. And now it's much more out of their control. And I don't think they're used to that relationship with us. So I relate to this. I think dinner is one, because I don't need my parents to make me dinner, but sometimes it's more, they get annoyed if there's more people in the kitchen. Like, my dad genuinely tries to time his lunch times so that it's no one else is there. He hates having to, like, make lunch around other people making their own separate lunches.
I get that, sure. I can understand that.
I mean, people have that in flats anyway, where they're like, it's just easier to make, like, a flat meal. So I do sometimes have to say whether I'll be around for food or if I'm catering for myself.
Yeah, because actually now I've got a big night
planned. Just give me another hour.
I filled that calendar. I think maybe that he should employ the calendar. Maybe that would be a good idea. Like
a
you said,
family
you
calendar.
Used to have one.
The paper calendar. We've got one in our household now for the first time in ages, just because of sort of. Because we're the parents now, so we have to
now
know.
Now
we're the parents, exactly, yeah.
My mum lives for everything being written down. She likes old school paper, pen, like written on a wall calendar so she can see what's going on, where everyone's going to be.
Parry's the same way. You still keep your paper calendar, don't you, Parry?
Paper calendar, paper diary.
Love it.
Yeah, baby. Can't have, you know, Bill Gates know my whereabouts every bloody step of the way. You know what
Too
I mean?
Too right, yeah.
That's absolutely. Why I didn't get my jabs, you know what I mean? No jabs, paper diary.
Did you never have to link a diary up with, like, an agent, though?
I just got this.
We can't
get into that.
Do you know what? Genuinely, because we've shared an agent for many years, and what would happen is I would link my Google Calendar up. Clark would link his Google Calendar up, and Tom would send a series of photographs of bits of paper, sometimes napkins. There've been napkins where he's gone, this is what I'm doing this month, and it would just be like all of his gigs written on a napkin. Fair enough, you know, it's a system that works for you, and you know he only misses, I'd say, one in about every 4 gigs, just because he doesn't know what's happening.
This feels like your guys' beef. I think we should.
I've got an idea for this.
Oh yeah.
Go out and buy a new set of clothes and a hat, right? And then say to your family, I'm going to be subletting my room out to an old college pal.
Right.
And we're going to be working different shifts and stuff. So, and then like you kind of like put a hat on and leave the house as like your lodger. And be like, oh, he's asleep, and like you kind of duel your life up, so that when you want to
like
go
Jekyll
and have
and
a
Hyde.
You Jekyll and Hyde it, but by choice rather than by,
yeah,
you know,
mental health issue.
Yes,
by
slash a potion. Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
So,
yeah.
So you kind of have like this kind of maybe you slip out the window and come back in as the guy. I don't know, but like there's some kind of where it's like Mr. Lodger. Is out.
I wouldn't call him Mr. Lodger if I were you. I'd come up with a different name than Mr. Lodger. It's a bit on the nose. I don't want to give you punch up at this early stage, but I think Mr. Lodger's
right. I brainstorm it a bit, not
first
sure,
idea.
Sure.
First name, fake.
Faye Clodger. Mrs. Clodger's here to speak to you.
No, don't Mrs. Doubtfire it. I would say, Aaron,
okay.
Stick with your own.
This might be the
gender. I don't want to click that up, by the way, and use it. Hello,
it's Faye here. Whose beef is it? Aaron.
Aaron's
staying upstate tonight.
But they're also all American, just so yeah, that's right, yeah.
Aaron is staying upstate tonight, so he won't be coming back. But Faye will be home around about 7.
And then, I don't understand. Tom, can I ask a question? Quite a crucial question.
Please.
Why is this happening? And what you're doing is you're spending half as much time in the house as you would be, rather than twice as much time. Because sometimes they'll say, bloody hell, yeah. Aaron's not been back for 4 nights, but Faye is sleeping like a log up there. You know,
still have to always be there. Like this doesn't work with being like, can I like, go out with my friends more? You're like, no, you're Faye. You've got to keep this lie up.
It'll be like, Aaron's been at the house for 4 days, but Faye won't leave her front room. And it's like 4 days going deep into character. Wow, I wish Aaron would get back here. That's been ages. Where are you, Aaron?
Why don't you take off your big coat and hat, by the way, Faye?
The costume is a coat.
And hat as well. Like your parents wouldn't see you walking in wearing a hat and go, all right, Aaron. They'd go like, bloody hell, who's this new person? Oh, quick, get the baseball bat. There's an attacker in the house. Someone's come in with a hat. I mean, they look exactly like Aaron, but they're wearing a hat.
I just think it might help. It might help things. It might be worth a try.
What that does rely on, though, is a question we haven't talked about. Is Aaron...
Is that... Oh no! Sorry.
Who's going to be the Harvey Fierstein figure? I'm going to make the rubber face mask.
Yes, but yeah, is Aaron paying rent? I guess.
Oh yeah. Whoa!
Because if you're paying rent, you owe him nothing.
Yeah. Do what you like. Yeah. And if you've got a job, then why aren't you paying rent? Mm. Are you paying rent?
I am. Yeah. I mean, it's discounted.
Sure. It's a mate's rates. Yeah.
Almost mates. I wish they were my mates' rates.
Yeah.
Because that, I think that might prove an issue, actually, because if Faye moves in, they'll half the rent. But I don't think the parents would give Faye mates rates. So Aaron might actually end up
make
spending
more.
Yeah. He's actually done himself over there.
And he's still spending the same amount of time with his parents.
Yeah,
just
crucially.
Just someone else.
So then Aaron's going to have to get a job as Faye to make up. Yeah. He's going to have a double job.
He's going to get a second job.
Double bubble on that. What as well?
And then the parents will be like, Faye, why aren't you spending more time with us? And it's just going to be, and then Faye's going to have to write in. And this whole thing's just going to be lived
and
twice.
It's only a matter of time before Aaron's mom sits him down and says, darling, Faye, we love her.
Yeah.
When are you going to do the decent thing by her? We want to see you wed. And then
I
want to
see
like...
her in that white big hat and that white big coat walking down the aisle.
And then suddenly you're buying a ring and Faye's got to come in and be like, Aaron, he finally asked me.
Because you can Mrs. Doubtfire dinner with the family and a pitch meeting. We know that's possible. We've seen that in the movies. But you can't Mrs. Doubtfire... the bride and groom at a wedding.
That sounds just like a
but
challenge.
You can try.
You can try your best.
I'd watch that film.
Paint one half of yourself and just keep doing the turning around trick, you know? I mean, I love the Faye suggestion, Tom. I think it's really, really strong.
Thank you.
I don't think it helps Aaron in any way. I think it causes more problems for him than anything else.
It's still got to be the choice, right?
I feel like what we need to do here is just is solve his problem,
right?
Not create a sort of rich fantasy world,
which is specifically balancing the living with parents, but also getting to do what he wants as an adult.
What was Aaron's quality? Where's he just been? Grad school.
He's just finished grad school. He's got a job and he's moved back in with his parents.
And what's his job?
He does not say.
Didn't say.
Great. So what if he starts to infer that he's working for...
I assume he's in the mafia. That's what I was going to say. He's close to his family.
What if he starts kind of making out that he's kind of either Homeland Security or FBI and then and imply that you're doing a Donnie Brasco? That you're having to go undercover to infiltrate the mob.
Mm-hmm. So you still get to wear a big coat and hat.
So whatever happens, you want prosthetics involved.
That big coat and hat isn't going to waste now. But like, what it means is you can be like, I'm on the job.
You can
still use
the outfit you've bought.
And then you don't have to lie, because with those kind of things, it's what isn't said. When you're an undercover agent and you don't want people to know, there's a couple of things, you know, you don't have, you know, you keep paper diaries, for example, because you can burn the evidence. You don't have online diaries. You don't, you know,
what?
You can't be traced.
Wait,
you know,
a minute.
I'm just, you own lots of hats.
This whole time.
I'm just saying.
You do two podcasts a week.
Zero trace of you.
Yeah, but, you know, Lorraine Kelly style, am I Tom or am I Tom?
He's playing a character.
Yeah, of course. When the tax man comes knocking, you're neither. Yeah. the other thing as well is, what about this, right? You know, like, they say this about relationships, that if you feel like you are sort of drifting apart, you've got to go back to sort of what made you great in the first place. And, you know, with couples, they say, you know, make time for each other. Do date nights. Well, you should do stuff, like twice a month, right? Where you go, we're going to really, you know, it's not just going to be, I'm going to be in the same house as you, eating dinner, you know, looking at my phone while you read the paper. We're actually going to go and do something. Twice a month's not that big. And especially if you did stuff like the things you used to do as kids, like trips to the cinema or stuff like that. That would be, don't you think that would be a really fun thing to do with your parents? I mean, I'm not doing it, but I've not got the same problem. I live in my own house. But
that's a really good idea. I just wondered, like, when he's going to wear the big coat and hat.
Well,
like, how does that fit in?
He's trying to get into X-rated movies, isn't he? He's dressing as an adult. He's on his dad's shoulders.
I love that that's always what he used to do with his dad as well. His dad was like, yeah, let's go watch some porn.
Smuggle into a dirty movie.
Like the old days. I think it's scheduling. I think the paper calendar was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then just being like, look, mm-hmm. I'll be home on this day. And then they know that you will be. And then it's fine that you're not this week because they know you're there at the weekend. I think also they need to let you be an adult.
Yeah.
But
or two yeah, adults.
It might be nice if like you or just one in a really big coat. Yeah. I suggest he like cooks them once a week. It's his turn to cook them a meal.
Yeah, that's also
my parents
good.
Will be listening to this being like, well, you don't fucking do that for us, do you? That's a nice suggestion, isn't it, Abby? Yeah, good one.
Cook him a meal, take him out to the pictures, you know, like, yeah. Or alternative. The problem, I think, with the whole Aaron Faye thing is that what if you get in a sort of Tyler Durden situation where he's forced to kill to kill one of half of his persona?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want
and
that.
And then you get to star in a Netflix documentary anyway, because they'll make like a little true crime about like who killed Faye. And then you get your Netflix special. Sorry, this is only if he's a comedian that he'd care about this. But
yeah,
it's one way of doing it.
Everyone wants a Netflix special, whether they're a comedian or not. Of course they do.
Right?
You telling me that the Tinder swindler's not delighted?
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Oh my God. And then you could even be like the murderer and the murderee in the same documentary. You could be victim and murderer.
You'd
and
have true crime sewn up, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's got like an 8-part, but should be a 3-part podcast series.
Buy yourself a second hat and become the detective as well.
Yes. And the documentary filmmaker. And then you can get a podcast. And like you say, that's where the money is. So there you go, Simon. And then you can buy your own house. It's all sewn up.
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
This is Dog Treat Beef from Mike via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Please do get in touch. Here we go. Dear Ben, Tom, Matthew and guest, in order of who most likely likes dogs. Do you have a dog, Abby?
No.
None of us do. So no, it's not like any of us have got the advantage over you.
My mom and dad won't let me. I'm obsessed with them though, like quite passionately. So I'd like to claim that.
How does your obsession manifest itself?
I once went to a Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer show at the O2, and I was the only one there without a dog.
I did the same thing when I went to this kids show.
Yeah, he was like live dog training on the stage and everyone was learning for their dog. I was just there because I was a big fan of the Dog Whisperer.
Well, this is another one that is perfect for you then. I have a dog treat related beef, writes our friend Mike. My wife and I have recently moved back in with her parents as we approach the birth of our first child. This is common practice in Japan to give birth in your hometown with the support of your parents. Oh, I should say that Mike is in Japan rather than him just throwing in a little fact about Japan.
He's like, they do it in Japan, okay?
They do in Japan. Luckily, I get on really well with my in-laws. However, the way my father-in-law spoils our dog, one-year-old Westie for those who care.
I do.
Abby. Yeah. Has me concerned for the future. Normally, we use treats as a training tool, but he gives them out like Willy Wonka on a factory tour. Apart from the health concerns, it teaches bad habits. Mm. On a separate point, he also seems to only want to enjoy the good parts of dog ownership, e.g. playing with the dog and working her up into a frenzy, but then not wanting to take her out on walks when I can't. I know it's our dog, and I don't expect him to be walking her all the time, but it's a little annoying that he goes against how we normally care for her. What is the best way to bring this up? Language not a problem, but culturally, the father figure as the head of the house is still strong in Japan, and I don't want to offend. Also, considering we'll be having a child soon, I'm worried this behaviour will also happen when looking after his grandchild. Yours in Christ, Mike in Japan. I'll tell you now, Mike, it will. There's fuck all you can do about it. Anyway,
okay.
I'd like to hear the rest of your opinions on this.
Well, so as a dog training expert, having been to the O2 Caesar Milan Dog Whisperer live show, which I was disappointed in because there weren't actually any dogs in the show. It was just a GoPro.
What?
Yeah, it was the only reason I went. Anyway, I would suggest...
No, wait. Sorry, just to back up the track a second.
Yeah.
So it's a GoPro, like, taking the place of it, like, what, like, on some sort of, like, Rumble or something.
So he was being, like, to, like, a little GoPro. He was, like, acting out what he'd do and so that you saw it from the dog's perspective. And I was like, I don't give a shit about the dog's perspective. No, I want to see the dog.
But also, we want proof that it works.
Was it on a remote-controlled car or something? What was it? What was the GoPro on?
I think it was just, like, on a stick.
And was someone operating the stick?
A dog.
Well, the dog was always fetching the stick, certainly.
I think either maybe he was holding the stick. It was really low budget for an arena tour, I won't lie. And I was frustrated as I wasn't there for the dog training tips, as I was without a dog. I was there to watch some dogs perform little tricks on the stage because he has like a pack leader and he has all these dogs, and I was like, the pack's gonna be there, daddy, the dog is gonna be there, this is such niche dog whisperer knowledge, but oh my god, daddy is a legend.
Hang on, he's called one of the dogs daddy,
yeah,
and then one of his first tips is to make them know that you're the leader.
Yes, you have to be the leader of your pack.
So why is he called someone daddy then? That's a shocking decision.
Calling him president.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is Big Chief in charge. And now I'm going to jab him in the neck until he doesn't think he's in charge. You can't be taking the lead on a dog called Daddy, right? Because he's the daddy, by definition.
Like, no, because then he's the granddaddy. Like, he...
Yeah, he's the elder daddy. Statesman. And also as well, Tom, how often in your household do you feel like you are completely in control?
Oh, never.
Yeah, and you're the daddy, yeah. It's a very really accurate description of what a daddy is.
Last week, Gloria figured out that Jane sometimes calls me Tom. And so now, when she wants to, looks me in the eyes and goes, Tom. I say, no, I'm daddy. And she goes, Tom.
Do you insist on daddy? Is that...
Daddy, yeah.
Oh,
daddy.
No. I went to the car factory today, and they'd labelled all of the sections really normally. It was like nephew, granddad, uncle, and then it was daddy. I don't think that should be the general section of the card factory. I think we should go dad.
There's got to be. There must be dads, right? Because on Father's Day, I'm not getting my dad a card that says daddy on it.
Exactly. There's at what age does daddy become not okay?
I mean, when you're like a small child, I'd say 6 or 7, you probably shift to. I mean, my daughter calls me dad now, and she's nearly 3. It's daddy or dad, but I think it's dad's.
Is it ever Matthew?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. It's bad.
Crosby.
There was a weird phase. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, where she learned everybody's names. So she, you would say, "What's Granny's name? It's Mary." What's Dado's name? That's my dad. It's Stuart. You'd say, what's my name? It's you're Matthew. Which she didn't say you're Matthew or you're Daddy Crosby. And then, and I've got no idea where this came from, I would say, and what's Mummy's name? And she'd say, Watermelon Sugar High. And we're not Harry Styles fans in the house. We don't play his music. I mean, we're not Harry Styles fans. We don't play that song to her. I don't know where she's heard it from. But she's, for some reason, not only heard the phrase Watermelon Sugar High, but thinks it's my wife's name. This is her own mother's name. Is Watermelon Sugar High. I do nothing to disavow from that fact. I love it.
It's great.
It's great.
Yeah.
Daddy Crosby really and Watermelon Sugar High. It's a good household. But we should solve this. We should solve this problem for our friend Mike in Japan. I mean, it's true. Your grandparents, you are, or the grandparents, your parents, if they're looking after your kid, you are grateful for their help, but you can't really micromanage grandparenting. You just have to let them do it. That's the problem. And I think
he parented a dog before, though?
But I think this is a good lesson for Mike to just learn that, listen, grandparents do get the fun stuff, but they've also had all the shit stuff of parenting. You know, they do get all the fun bits, the trip to the park, you know, the giving them sweets. They give them back to you when they haven't napped and they're overtired and they're going berserk, and you have to deal with it because they had to deal with it when their parents did. This is the circle of life. This is and I think actually make some peace with it now, Mike, because it's going to get much, much worse when it is your own offspring.
It's
bleak advice, but it's honest advice.
Yeah. It's It's solid advice out the straight out the block.
Tell you what it does do, crucially, is it takes the heat off you.
Yeah.
That old Japanese dude isn't going to be sitting around thinking, is that guy good enough for my daughter? What's he up to now? Is he earning enough? What's his job? He's going to just be thinking, whoa, look at that dog and look at that kid. Brilliant, a dog and a kid. Yeah. And that guy's brought this into my life. And now my life's brilliant because I just get to play with dogs and kids. Yeah. And I've got no responsibility. And at no point is he going to be thinking, are you good enough anymore? You've put that to one side.
Yeah, no, that's such good. And you know what you should do, actually, Mike? Lean into it, mate. Lean into it. When the child is born, you know, you'll get a lot of gifts. You'll get lots of baby clothes, all that kind of stuff. But give him a gift. Give him a little tiny saddle that he can put on the back of the dog and put the kid on the saddle and go, there you go. You're playing with a dog. You're playing with a kid. You can take him out for walks together.
Yeah.
Beef solved.
It's beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Abby, have you got one of your own that
I do have a beef. My beef, though, is with when I have to stay at my boyfriend's.
Also acceptable,
beef. Because he doesn't own a wardrobe.
What?
And instead has a floor-drobe. He does have a chest of drawers. They are empty.
A drawers-drobe.
So he keeps his jumpers in a cardboard box.
What?
The rest is on the floor.
Okay.
He has a dirty laundry basket and a clean laundry basket, which is very difficult to tell the difference between.
Yeah.
And that's mostly where he keeps the clothes, unless they're on the floor.
Can I ask a question? Does he have like a sort of flat slash apartment, or is he hopping boxcars? Is that what's he doing? Is he living on the railroads with a bindle on his back?
You'd think so, right? No, he has a flat. He has a flat share, but it's just him and his room.
What's his bed situation? Is he mattress on the floor as well? Because he feels like a mattress on the floor kind of dude.
No, it's a bed without a headboard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like an old bed that his mum's given him to use.
Sure, sure.
And a donated mattress. And the bed's never made, obviously.
No, he's never flipping
that
mattress.
He has two lots of bedding, but they're identical, so you never know if he's changed.
So this is the person you'd like to move in with one day. So this has to be solved.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's probably a big issue.
Has he got a chair?
Yeah. It's a wooden one.
I wonder if putting the clothes on a chair might be like just a baby step towards...
Okay, so like, what you're misunderstanding here is that the chair is full.
Oh, right, okay.
There are more clothes than a chair's worth. We're going to need, like, a park bench. Maybe I should get him a bench.
Get him a bench.
I tell you what my mum did once when I was slightly older living at home and my room was very untidy. She bought some beers and hid them around the room underneath the stuff that I'd had lying around. She kept saying, you get a tidy... Like, she kept, like, pushing that I tidy the room. It took me ages to realise, but it was a real lovely treat.
Like a grown-up Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start hiding, like, gross stuff so he, like, has to find where the smell's coming from. But my worry is he would just leave the smell.
I think you would sleep in the smelly room.
He just opens the window. That would totally
You'd find
do.
Him Febrezing a big pile of clothes on a chair. I think that's not, you know.
Yeah.
Don't want to stick an egg in that. I think... I really feel like... I mean, this is very rarely advice that I would give to a couple. But take him to IKEA and... While you're there, say, look, I think that would go great in your room, and just sort of basically press the issue as hard as you can until he gets it.
How do you train him to then use it though? Because like I said, the chest of drawers is empty.
I think you need a series of treats to reward good behavior.
Yeah, like maybe like get a clicker. Squirt. Yeah. Every time it's like day, I'll squirt him with a little water bottle. And then every time he puts something on a hanger, I give him a chocolate.
Yeah, that's don't, it. And don't then jab him in his side. Daddy.
And then I go, psst, and jab him in the side.
I dig the guy's vibe, I must admit. I've never been a wardrobe man myself. And he's not a three walls and a door kind of guy. Mm. He's a
three walls.
Three walls. Three on a TV set.
Three walls and a door. Yeah. That's how you make a wardrobe.
Oh, sorry.
He lives in a garage.
Sorry, I thought you meant. I just assumed you meant a room. Sorry.
No, he keeps his clothes in the room.
Sure,
that's not the issue.
Sure,
so right. For now.
The walls of the wardrobe. Yeah, I get you.
I don't want to tell you to make a wardrobe, guys, but it's famously three walls and a door.
Sounds very sturdy, I'll tell you that much.
Quite a good
brick wardrobe, actually. It's really.
I'm not into them.
It's where I'm recording from.
A brick wardrobe with a thatched roof.
So, what you do is you get a bunk bed.
Yes.
And you have no mattress on the top bunk. And then the top bunk becomes like a de facto storage shelf wardrobe type thing. And then it's up off the floor. Sure, it's above your head when you're sleeping.
Okay, but then my beef is my boyfriend has a bunk bed. Yeah. And that is a whole new ick.
In Tom's defence, it could start to look like he's got a four-poster bed.
Thank you, Clark.
If he wears a lot of red velvet and it hangs over the sides.
Almost like a quilted. He's like, it's just a quilt up there.
Either that or tell him to go, you know, the full Steve Jobs and pick an outfit, buy three of them, have them in rotation and just wear that every day.
Yeah, it's like a Gokwan capsule wardrobe.
Exactly. Go capsule wardrobe, yeah. If he's not willing to actually buy an actual wardrobe, then minimise, you know, if he looks good in, I don't know, white T-shirt, jeans and trainers, then just get him, you know, get a bunch of those. Don't take up that much space. Mm. I mean,
that's the thing. That's all he seems to wear anyway.
There we go. Right?
Because all his clothes are on the floor. he's never wearing them.
Well, I mean, you know, the choice is yours. What you know, you can go for the bunk bed, you can go for the cabin bed, you can go for sticking some dirt in his clothes.
Yeah,
we'll leave that up to you.
I'll let you know.
Please do.
Please do.
He'll write in like, I have some beef with my girlfriend. She keeps hiding eggs in my clothes,
and she's bought me a bunk bed.
Yeah.
Beef from the sorting out your beef
solved. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. This has been
Thank you so much for having me.
A tremendous joy having you on. It's been really, really great. So tell people about where they can hear you, can see you. Obviously, your socials.
Yeah, I'm at Abby Clark Comedy, spelled ABI, and Clark with an E. On all socials, really. I'm on Instagram mostly, but I'm everywhere else too. And that's it.
No, you're hosting a brilliant podcast as well that I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, well, I am currently hosting the It's Wagatha Christie podcast, all about the wag drama between Rebecca Vardy and Colleen Rooney, which is insane. And we're like doing live. I did it just before this one, like every day after court, we have a little recap, and I talk to like lawyers and court journalists, but then also like entertainment journalists. Today we had a media and PR management company who literally deals with celebrities when they get cancelled. So like when there's a celebrity scandal, they ring her and go help, and she basically makes the plan on like how they should apologize and what TV shows they should go on and what's like charities they should help and all to like help.
What's her phone number?
So you get to talk to all these people and kind of find out all the juicy details you might not just get from The Guardian's article on the piece.
It's great. It's really, really good. I'm really enjoying it. And that's on BBC Sounds.
It's on BBC Sounds or wherever you find your podcasts. And it's with Radio 5 Live. And I get to present it like a true crime podcast, which is all I've ever wanted.
Yeah.
So, that's the fun at the moment.
What do you think's going to happen? I know, obviously, this is the whole purpose of your podcast is sort of eking out this. But what do you think how's it going to go?
I think Rebecca is going to win it.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Because what they have to prove, without having Caroline Watt, who the agent who said I did it, without her there, it's so difficult to prove that Rebecca knew Caroline was doing it, which is what they're trying to prove. They're trying to prove as if it were a hitman that, okay, Rebecca didn't pull the trigger, but she was fully aware and part of the planning. But to prove that is so difficult, especially without Caroline Watt there. And so I don't think they're really going to be able to undeniably prove her guilty. But at the end of the day, all she's going to get is money that's not going to actually cover the legal fees she spent. And I think Colleen has won in the public.
Well, her reputation is basically kind of destroyed. Because all of the things that come out...
She's made it so much worse.
She's definitely done this sort of thing, if not this actual thing. Right?
Yeah.
She's definitely done stuff around this. So, but it's a great podcast and it's well worth checking out.
Thank you.
That wasn't advice for you, Abby. You're already on it.
Yeah. I had to listen to it live.
Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. See you really soon, I hope.
Thank you.
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
There we go. Beef solved once again.
A lot of beef solved there, yes. If you enjoyed Abby and you would like to hear more from her, there'll be a bonus beef over on our Patreon in a couple of days' time. So patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Thank you very much to everyone who's already joined the Patreon. It's much appreciated. And do check out as well Abby's It Was Wagatha Christie podcast on BBC Sounds if you get a chance. As of the time of recording, I'm up to date on all the episodes and it's really good. It's got all the sort of thrill of those, you know, the kind of podcasts that follow a courtroom drama, but the story itself is not, it's not too bleak, you know.
Have you picked a side, Crosby?
Well, it's a tricky one because, like, you know, you hear a lot about Rebecca Vardy and the sort of things that she's done. I mean, I don't know. I feel like Rebecca Vardy, like, has probably done some things that are not exactly great. I think her agent certainly has, but her agent's not around to sort of answer for it. I don't know. I mean, I think that most people are going to side with Colleen just because people like someone with a bit of a sort of ingenuity. The scheme of it is what's exciting, isn't it?
Well, personally,
the fact that she didn't tell anyone about the scheme. She just did it on her own. Didn't even tell Wayne Rooney about it. Just did it on her own and slowly whittled down the people she thought it could be to who she thought it was. It's good.
It's good stuff. It's compelling.
What were you going to say the thing about it was?
Well, I was going to say personally, I'm on Abby Clark's side.
Can't believe. We all are. Listen to that. Enjoy that wherever you get your podcasts. Anything else to say?
Any other business? I don't think so. Today's episode was produced by producer Gwyn.
Producer Gwyn still, yes, yeah. Get well soon, Corsham.
Gwyn. Get well soon, Corsham. And cheers, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.